Today's Mishnah, Masechet Machshirin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beit. Hamar'id et ha'ilan, la'ashir mimenu ochalin o et ha'tuma. So let's say somebody is shaking a tree in his rishos. He has no interest in any of the rainwater that might still be lurking on that tree. He wants to get rid of a piece of tuma that maybe a bird had dropped onto the tree and it bothers him. He doesn't want it falling into his yard on something. Or he wants to simply knock off some fruit from the tree by shaking it. And as he's shaking it, obviously water also comes off of the tree from the last rain if it's still wet. And that water falls onto some food that was underneath the tree. That is not considered to be mukshel kabel tuma, and it's not called kiyutan mayim al zera, because he was not in the least bit interested in having the water come off the tree. And because of that, like we said yesterday, you have to be kiyutan dumya lekiyitim. It has to be something that you would have wanted. He never showed any interest in getting water off of the tree. But how about if he actually wanted to shake the water off of the tree? So then, Beit Shammai omrim that hayotzin ve'et shebo b'chiyuta. Even the water that never did come off of the tree, so let's say, you know, a lot of water came down, he was very happy with that water, fine. A day later, additional water that had been there at the time, when he shook the tree to get that water out, but he never managed to actually get it out. And a day later, that water falls on something in his rishos. Now, that would be, according to Beit Shammai, even the water that was left on the tree is considered to be b'chiyuta. Because initially, when he shook that tree, he was oker that water and showed that he wanted the water to be usable by him. And therefore, even though it took time for it to fall down, it's still going to be makshir. Whereas Beit Hillel omrim, hayotzin b'chiyuta, the only water that he had intention for was water that he was going to get off of the tree. But ve'et shebo, whatever is left on the tree, it turns out that he never wanted it to remain on the tree, and he didn't want the water to go from one leaf to another leaf. He wanted water that was going to come off the tree. And therefore, mipnei shehu mitkaven sheyetze mikulo, he was only attempting to get the water off of the tree, not to move it around. And therefore, he was never oker that water with any kind of intention whatsoever, because in the end it didn't come out. And therefore, the water that was shebo, meaning the water that was left on the tree, is not going to be makshir, unless, of course, at that time that it came down, he wanted it to be on his peres and so on, that yes. But like this, we don't go back to his original ratzon and say that that was called trilato beratzon, like we had said in yesterday's Mishnah.
Now, let me explain Beit Shammai again.
The idea of the ratzon in the water, which were the way we understood other than the Rambam, the way that we understood Chilasai and Saifai, was that Chilasai has to do with the original Akira of the water from its marker. So let's say Kishami. If the guy was happy that it's raining, even though when he comes home, he realizes that now the rain got over, he didn't know that his wife had put out the cholent outside to cool, yeah, he's not happy now. But since at the actual coming of the Mayim, he wanted that water to be falling down. So Beit Shammai says, well, the same thing is true over here. He wanted this water to be falling down. Now you're saying, it didn't fall down. It ended up in the leaves of the tree. So what? That's Tfilato Beratzon. So even the Mayim Shabbo, he was trying to get it off of the leaves where it was, even if it didn't come down to where he wanted it. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, the point of the shaking was bedafka to get water off of the tree to where he wants it. He had no interest in getting water to move from one leaf to another leaf. So you can't call the water that was left on the tree, water that was ne'akal b'tchila l'ratzon. I will see implications of this same type of issue in the Mishnah coming up, so perhaps it will become clear as we go. But that's the basic explanation, yeah? Make sense so far?
I don't really get it, but I'm ready to be patient.
Okay. So let's take a look at Mishnah Gimel. Machshirin Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel. So here he's shaking the ilan. He wants to get the fruit off of the ilan. And now there's a lot of different approaches to this Mishnah because there are subtle differences in the girsa. The simplest way to understand the Mishnah is the way the Bartanura understands the Mishnah, but his girsa is not nafal al chaviro, but rather naflu al chaviro. So there's three possibilities in this Mishnah. One is the tree fell, which is the lashon of nafal, that the tree actually, he shook the tree and it fell all over and landed on another tree that supported it. Or v'naflu, referring to the fruit, or v'naflu, referring to the water. So it's a most confusing Mishnah. The simplest explanation is according to the Bartanura. The Bartanura says naflu means that he managed to knock off the fruit, but the fruit fell onto the next tree and got stuck in the branches of the next tree before they came down to the ground. Or maybe he just shook a branch. Osocha. Here again, our gear says v'nafla, which meant that the branch fell onto another branch of that tree, al-chavertana. But if it says osocha v'naflu al-chavertana, it'd be the same thing. In any event, what happened in this case was, again, according to the Rav, tachteyam v'zra'im o'yirakot amechubarim l'karka. So underneath the tree, there were things that were connected to the ground, and therefore they are not the issue. Those things that are connected to the ground are not makabel hechsher. However, they were all soaking wet because you'd been watering them, or they were irrigated, whatever the case is. And now the fruit ultimately that was detached from the first branch or from the first tree that had then gotten caught on the way, they finally fell and they land in that water. So here we have the same question. Beit Shammai says, look, the fruit is definitely b'chiyutan. Because what did you want originally? I mean, you wanted the fruit to fall directly to the ground where it was going to land smack bang in the middle of all of that moisture that was there on the perot that were mechubarim on the karka, right? So because of that, Beit Shammai, which is similar to the shita in the previous Mishnah of Beit Shammai, we don't care whether it falls exactly the way you wanted it to fall. What we do care about is that initially your concern was to get these fruit into that water. Now, it's true they didn't go directly into the water, but as a result of your original shaking of the tree, they finally fall out of the adjacent branch or out of the adjacent tree. They finally fall onto the ground. So therefore, says Beit Shammai, that's b'chiyutan, because you knew initially that you were trying to get fruit into water. Well, that's what kiyutan means. Whereas Beit Hillel says, it's the same as the previous case. This is not b'chiyutan, because according to Beit Hillel, look, what was your intent? Your intent was to get these fruit down onto the ground directly. That didn't happen. It fell instead onto another branch or onto another tree, which means that we cannot see your maisa as being the direct cause. And that's the point of kiyutan. Kiyutan, well, think about it, says Beit Hillel. Kiyutan means passive, right? And that, in this case, is definitely, that's what happened in the end. I mean, it's the perfect kiyutan. But what does the kiyitain kriya of that word imply? That what happened needed to be your plan or your willingness at the beginning. And it wasn't. This is not what you were thinking. I don't care whether you indicated that ultimately you would have been happy. That's not what happened, though. So therefore, we do not have a kiyitain in this case. We only have the kiyutan, which is not the correct kiyutan, which needs to be dumila kiyitain. So since it wasn't according to plan, it's not considered to mean that this is what I wanted. I didn't want the fruit to get wet, ultimately. I was trying to get the fruit to come to the ground. It would have gotten wet, but that doesn't show that I'm mecha, that the peiros should later fall off the tree to be wet. And in fact, Omer Rabbi Yeshua, Mishum Abba Yossi, Chali Kufri. I didn't know what Chali Kufri is. They used to call him that, but I have no idea. I mean, Chali Kufri is like a very weird kind of name. And he came from Tivon. So anyway, that's what they used to call him, Chali Kufri from Tivon.
I'll be next to Tivon for Shabbos. It's right next to Beit Sharim, it's Beit Yaakov.
I know where Tivon is. Oh my gosh.
There's no avoiding it, Rabbi. No. It seems the whole world is in Barnaz neighborhood.
I mean, you want me to tell you the number of times I was in Tivon over the past 40 years? Okay. Anyway. While you're there, Barnea, maybe you can ask around if anybody knows a guy called Chali Kufri. That would be a truma. So anyway, with this guy, Chali Kufri from Tibet, amazing. What he said over there was, listen, I mean, Tameatzma, really? I mean, ask yourself an obvious question. Is there such a thing as a mashka that is mitame in the Torah? Show me. Doesn't he have to actually want to put the food into the water? And that's not what it says. It says, if you look at the letters, it says, so it means you need for it to want the water to be on it. Where in this case did he have an intention to put water on it? I mean, all he was trying to do was get some food. It happened to be that in that particular moment, the food would have fallen on the water. But now a day later, it falls off of an adjacent tree. You're going to tell me that this is the equivalent of his wanting the water? I don't see that at all. So basically, the way that he had put it was a very strong statement in the way that Beit Hillel was looking at the entire issue. So that would be the simplest way of understanding the story. Now, the other ways, I mean, if we're going to read it the way we have it, which is that the actual tree fell, or the socha fell, and that would be the difference between the nafal and the nafla, and it fell in such a way that the water actually did fall, but it fell on things that were mechuber el hakark. So now, in the fall, it was gerim that they got wet. So Beit Shammai says this is b'chiyutan, even though it fell on my things that are mechuber. And according to this, it would mean that Beit Shammai holds that even mechuber can be mukshel kabel tuma if somebody puts water on them, as opposed to just raining on them, and then it would be mukshel. And Beit Yehol Omrim, inan b'chiyutan, because mayim on anything that's mechuber cannot be makshir. Okay, this is sort of a far-fetched approach, as far as I see it. Fine. Then there's also another, I find all the other Purushim, I have to say, a little bit far-fetched, but it's really nice the way the Rav learns it. The Gra learns that the Venaflu is a reference to the water, and not to the fruit. So he was mar'id in order to get off water. The water did actually exit the tree, but they fell on an adjacent tree. And he does not have nafla. So he doesn't have the difference in the case of the socha or the tree being the difference of zocher v'nekeva of ilan v'socha. So therefore, he learns in both cases, you were trying to shake off water. The water lands on another item, or on part even of the tree, because it's a different socha. Now you'll say, what is that important? We're going to see in the coming Mishnayos that it is important, because if water goes from one part of a thing to another part of a thing, it's different than if it goes from one thing to an adjacent thing. We're going to have a case later on where, let's say, you've got stuff that fell into a river, and you pull them out, and you put them on the shore, and now you put them out there for the water to leak out and to dry. If you put one on top of the other, then the water of one is going to be falling on the other, and there's a shita that holds it. That itself is considered to be a chiyutan. So according to the Gra, this Mishnah actually touches on this question as well, because the water didn't fall directly. It fell onto an adjacent piece, either of the same tree, which is an important issue later, or on an adjacent tree, but it wasn't your roots and it should fall there. So that's the machlokes b'chaim b'tilla. Okay, so we've got a number of different possibilities. I think it becomes clearer as we pursue the Mishnayos later on. Okay, Rabosai, wishing you all a wonderful day. Enjoy your trip to Tivon, whoever's going through Tivon today, or to visit Beit Shearim, and perhaps our tour guides, maybe even Richie would be going there today. No, he's on the other direction. So if you meet up with anybody there, Baraya, please send them our very best. Go to everyone.